outside.
I'm entitled to one mistake. I'm sorry. We're going to have Glenn read the 12 traditions, and then Marty will speak. Introduce our speaker for tonight, Marty.
There's a seat over here in the corner. Is that how it starts? My name is Marty. I'm an addict. Hi, folks. Hi, babe. Berkeley, 69. Can't you feel the love? Before I forget, I would like to thank the committee for asking me to be here, because when I'm through, maybe they won't be so thankful. Are the tape machines on? Who's doing the taping? Okay, make sure you get a copy of this. I want your sponsors to hear it, because they all think they know so goddamn much. How many people have heard me before or hearing me for the first time? Raise your hand. Yes, I'm nervous. No, I've been nervous before. You can stay clean another day, thanks. I spoke in San Diego at a meeting about a year ago. It was a year ago. It was a year and 2 days, a year and a day ago. It was a day and a year ago. I spent a whole year there one day. I don't know. And on the front of the podium, they had something, I don't know what it was, AAA for stuttering alcoholics or something. I don't know what it was. But it's good to see that you're closer tonight. You got down to H and I anyway. It's party anyway. For those of you who don't know, this is not a Holiday Inn convention. It is a Narcotics Anonymous convention. I think this is real important. I was real concerned because I've been giving this talk now for about 4 months. And I enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. Hope y'all don't like to dance. You had your chance to dance last night. Tonight we're going to be a little bit about recovery. It's only going to take about 6 hours, and then I'll be finished. Somebody got depressed and used right over there. I never have any idea what I'm going to say when I get up here. I try to think about it, and I go to the bathroom, and I try to think about it, and I go to the bathroom. And if you go out, you got to stand in line. No age discrimination here. I was concerned about what I may say from the podium, because I was afraid that if I used any profanity, I might not get on a world tape. And then I seen the guy come up here for one day. And he said, fuck. So I guess I'm not here to be on a world tape. I'm here to identify with the newcomer. It says right here on in black and white, please do not swing Mike. Who's Mike? Or it will fuck up his recovery. No, the recording. That's it. I do not know anything about the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. I have a great drug-a-log and hope you enjoy it. I do not believe in drugs of choice in Narcotics Anonymous, because in our literature it says that we are not interested in what or how much I used or who my connections were. So I'll just be real brief. My drugs of use were many, and my drug of choice was yours. I would like to share something very intimate with you this evening, and I would not like for it not to leave this room. I'm not talking about sex with animals yet. Nah. I have blonde hair, and I don't surf. I know it's a prerequisite in sunny California. If you have blonde hair, you carry a surfboard under your arm. I was living in West Palm Beach last Christmas and bought surfboards for my kids. Yay, Palm Coast. Sit down. Roll over. Speak. Thanks for sharing. And I bought my kids surfboards, and I said, okay, let's go to the beach tonight. Dad, I'll show you how to do it. And I seen all these guys out there, and they're out past the waves sitting on the boards. You know how to do it. Y'all do it out here. Jim knows. Where's Jim? Stand up, Jim. Sit down. And I got out there, and I got the boys out on the boards and went to show them how to get out past the waves. 3 hours later, I came back to the beach, never got out past the waves. So let's take these and get some boogie boards. I can boogie board for about an hour. I'd like for you to know what Narcotics Anonymous has done for me. I have $1 million in my left pocket. Several wives want me. For child support. I sponsor everybody in this room. I'm still nervous, and that's my second time. I got high because I thought it made me feel like I thought everybody else felt all the time. I got high because I was an addict, and I was an addict because I got high. And I didn't even have to go to a therapist to figure that out. Since I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous on the 19th of February, 1973, or 75, I just gave myself a couple of years, what the hell. I can do that and write it off in an inventory. Stop looking at me. I've needed no other therapeutics than the therapeutics of one addict helping another since I got here. Some people need more than that, like those who aren't ready to work the steps. Can't go to a meeting tonight, I gotta see my therapist. Don't want to hear what my sponsor's got to say. He might want me to write something instead of talking about how my mother looked at me funny when I was 14. I went to a psychiatrist one time, and he asked me the proverbial question, how do you feel about your mother? I said, like yours pretty well, though. I bet you when I walk away from this podium, my arms will be like this. Nobody under there. I always wanted to fit in, and I didn't, and it's your fault. And I still hate you for it. If there's anybody here that I've ever harmed, I'm sorry. I've been looking for you, I couldn't find you, and I apologize. I'm waiting. God's giving this talk, and I'm waiting for him to say something. God just does wonderful things. I heard a guy last night say he's just going to turn it over to God, 60,000 a year. I'll just wait and see what God's got to offer. I tried that last year. 70,000 a year and quit my job, waiting on God. And then I started painting. And the checks weren't any good when I got them. I quit waiting for God to do shit. Started realizing I had to get into action. That God doesn't cross the threshold of human responsibility for some reason. My father was an ethanol addict. His drug of choice was ethanol. He used to drink and dance. Furniture, bodies, everything out the window. I grew up with deep secret feelings of inadequacy, low self-esteem, and blonde hair. The first time I got high, something happened for me. I weighed about 22 pounds. I was 13 years old. And I got high, and the blonde hair disappeared. I got the shiniest, waviest black hair you'd ever seen. Pimples popped off my face. I had to walk on stilts because something between my legs grew about that long. And I wanted to share it with everybody. And years down the road, nobody wanted it. And it wasn't doing me any good, so I tried to cut it off. And here it is. No. I got kicked out of school 13 times. I spent 4 years in the 7th and 8th grade. If anybody's got any kids having problems in the 7th or 8th grade, see me, I'll be their tutor. Just like I came into these rooms the 1st of January in 1973, and I relapsed 13 times. Anybody wants to know something about the first 30 days of recovery, see me after the meeting. I'm a professional newcomer. I don't think it's real important for you to know the insanity of my use. You can hear the insanity of my recovery. Katie talked about bags on her feet last night. You're always a turn on for me. I wore them around my neck trying to kill myself. I'm the guy that tried to commit suicide by hanging himself with his suspenders. Boing, boing. Come here, let me tell you something. The problem I'm having, there's so much I want to share, and I'm so afraid I'm going to leave something out, I'm just not going to say another goddamn thing. I'd like to talk about sponsorship for a moment. Remember this. Today's assholes are tomorrow's sponsors. I was an asshole once, now I'm a guru. Do what I tell you or go use. I don't tell the people I sponsored anything. The only thing I can do with the people that I sponsor is share my experience, strength, and hope. My sponsor is a lot different. He likes to play God. I know what's best for you. Why, you don't even know what's best for you. How do I believe that? You have to ask your sponsor, fool. So how does he know what's best for me? The only thing my sponsor can do is share with me his experience, strength, and hope. Not give me any advice. Advice kills people. Like I was working with a guy who was manic depressant, and he was taking lithium, and some well-meaning individual in the program who knows much more than any psychiatrist or any doctor told him that if you were using lithium, you need to stop, or you're not really clean. And so he did. 3 days later, he committed suicide. People get upset when they can't have their lithium. I had a guy that my wife and I were working with, and we worked with him for about 4 years. And I know Jeff can hear us. And I know Jeff's with us today. Because Jeff finally did what my sponsor said to me. My sponsor said that sooner or later you'll get high, your last time. And it's either going to be the one that gets you clean, or it's going to be the one that kills you. Jeff's was the one that killed him. So although I make a lot of fun, Narcotics Anonymous is real serious to me. My life is real serious to me today. The addict who still suffers life is real serious to me today. Jeff came in and out of the rooms trying to work this program on his terms. Then Jeff decided that maybe he could get some real recovery. Because there's none located here, you can tell that. There's nobody in this room tonight. That he had to go somewhere else so he could get some sobriety or something like that. And then he had to go to a program of chemical denial. And then he had to go to a program of adult addicts of spiritual whiz-bang puke frauds or something. I don't know what it was. And it helped him. Because the only program he was working by going to all those programs was his own. And see, when I come here, I can only work one program. That's the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I spoke at a meeting in a treatment center a few weeks ago, and I said, how many alcoholics are here tonight? And 42 people raised their hand. If anybody works in treatment or owns a facility would like to know which one that was. Had to get the census up. I said, how many drug addicts do we have here tonight? And same people all rose their hand. And I said, how many addicts do we have here tonight? And they all rose their hand. I said, damn, that's pretty good. What kind of insurance y'all got to treat all these diseases? I only have one disease. This is not a double speaker meeting. Should have got here earlier, got a seat up front. I only have one disease, and that disease is the disease of addiction. Thank God. Thank Jimmy Kay and the addicts who ran away from other places with him. To get a hold of the first step of Narcotics Anonymous, which tells me that I'm not powerless over any goddamn chemicals. I'm powerless over my addiction. Drugs were not my problem. I knew that the day I got here, and I believe it even more stronger every day I stay clean. Drugs were the solution to my problem. Real simple. I just overdid it a lot, that's all. Didn't mean to use that much. Sorry for using yours. That's the way it goes. My younger brother, who's been in recovery now for 6 years, used to race professional flat track Harley Davidsons, half miles. Had tattoos on his nuts, you know. They were usually somebody else's rim. And Mike, is an idiot. I would never do that. And I think about that because I think about all the different types of people in these rooms. I think about, quote, bikers, yuppies, heroin addicts. I know where they got the name. Who's got the dope? Hey, Ron. I don't know why I was talking. Oh. And anyway, I went to a race one time. It was a national, and I'd been clean about 3 years. And this guy comes up to me and says, you're Mike's brother, aren't you? I said, yeah, that's me. He says, yeah, I heard about you when you went to a race down in Texas somewhere. You were all fucked up. I said, that's me. Sorry. He says, yeah. He said, you've been clean now, huh, for 3 years? I said, yeah. He said, you want a beer? I said, no, thank you. He says, why? I says, I break out. He says, yeah. I said, yeah, in the county jail. He says, oh, you can drink one. I said, I sure can. But I ain't going to. He says, why? I said, you just wouldn't want to see it happen. He said, oh, come on, you can have just one. I said, no, thanks, really, I appreciate it. Maybe tomorrow. He said, tomorrow? He said, why tomorrow? I said, everybody gets messed up tomorrow. Call me tomorrow, I'll get messed up with you. I can do everything tomorrow. I owe you money, I'll pay you tomorrow. A few minutes later, he came back. You ready for a beer yet? I said, no, it ain't tomorrow yet. Came back a few minutes later. Oh, come on, man. One won't hurt you. I said, no, but it'll kill you. And he left me alone for about an hour and a half until he'd had a few more. He says, come on, man. Well, it's just one. How about it? I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll drink one with you. He said, yeah, all right. Wait a minute. Let me go get it. I said, wait a second. I said, but we got to do it on my terms. He said, okay. I said, don't get one. Get a case. He said, no problem. I said, I want a bag of dope. He said, what kind? I said, any kind. He said, okay, I'll do it. I said, good. He said, now, I've got to warn you about something. He said, what? I said, as soon as I get through drinking your booze and doing your dope, I won't screw your old lady. Because you got to remember, I had one that big. He didn't understand. He said, what's wrong with you? I said, you're not ready to hear it yet. It's okay. I said, I understand you. It's not necessarily that you understand me. And see, when I got clean, I thought everybody had to understand me. You people understood me, and I had to go out there and tell those people, you got to understand how I feel. Had my little white book. They were going to a race one day. I couldn't ride in the van with my brother, the hot shot. I had to ride with Mom and Dad. It's not cool riding with Mom and Dad. So I got out my white book, and I said, I started reading, trying to get some acceptance. He said, what are you going to do, hide in that goddamn book? It's either that or kill you, pal. You make the choice. I got stopped by a cop one time for running a stop sign. He said, you see that sign back there? I said, yeah, I seen it. He said, what did it say? I said, stop. He said, what'd you do? I said, I slowed down. What's the difference? He started beating on my head with a nightstick. He said, now you want me to slow down or stop? I will try not to be too long. I know some of us are trying to get laid tonight. Those without sponsors are yelling. Narcotics Anonymous's 12 steps. You can determine what they mean for yourself. The 12 traditions, I'll do it for you. I was asked to. In the NA Way magazine, it said in there for this convention, looking for a NA speaker with a strong NA message. It's coming in about an hour. The message is real simple. If you don't know what Narcotics Anonymous is about, it's about 24 hours. It's about one day. It's about one addict helping another, not to use. I did not know how not to use when I got here. All I knew how to do was get high. I used to think that I was a drug abuser. You know, when they're coming at you and your back's to the wall, you break out your Valium and you beat the shit out of them. Take that. I love society because society and intellectual people who have degrees, so does a record thermometer. Like to make up all sorts of intellectual shit about our illness. Like Nancy likes to say, just say no. I can do that. When somebody wanted some of my dope, I'd say no. I was saying no by the time I was two. By the time I was five, I was shooting the world the finger because I knew best. I wanted to be somebody. I got kicked out of school. I spent half my life hauling off and smacking people in the fist with my face. That's not funny. If anybody wants to touch me, you got to deal with these guys. I was walking down the freeway one day a couple of years before I got clean, because everybody in the United States had an automobile but me. And I seen this guy go by me in a white Eldorado. had a San Diego tan. Was talking on the telephone. Had on a white suit. That's why I got mine. Smoking a stogie and drinking a martini. And I said to myself, everybody loves this guy. This guy's got friends all over the world. If I had what he had, I'd be okay. So I went out and wrote me a bad check and bought me a new white suit. I went to 7-Eleven and wrote 10 more bad checks at 10 more 7-Elevens because you could write one for 10 bucks each. Bought me a case of Coors. Went and seen the dope man. Got me a few joints. Went back to my apartment that had no furniture. Ripped the phone off of the wall. Went and wrote another check and bought a new car. And went trucking down the road. In my new white suit. In my new car. Chatting on the telephone. I never felt so goddamn good in my life. Smoking dope. Jamming on the radio. Talking shit. Pulled up to a red light. A little girl in a Camaro over beside me. And I'm jamming away. She looks over at me and I wave and she shot me the finger. That hurt. No sympathy, huh? Hurt like hell. I'm telling. On everybody in here. I spent 2 years in NAM fighting prestigiously for my country. That's where I got introduced to opium and acid and everything you can think of. The clap. I wonder if everybody applauded. You identify, huh? Take this. I did a lot of things that I am totally not proud of, but it's okay to share it today. You see, before I got here, I only had one higher power, and that was drugs as I understood them. I did whatever dope told me to do. My drugs would say, Marty, it's Wednesday afternoon. I'd say, yeah. Let's get the German Shepherd across the street. And I did. I said, Marty, it's Friday at 10:40 p.m. Let's be gay for the rest of the night. I tried. It sucked. I did whatever they told me to do. There are only so many things that you can think of and perform with the human body and mind and spirit. And ain't nobody done anything different. I listen to people talking about the steps and they get to the fourth step and they said, I ain't doing no fifth step. I said, why? I said, I don't trust anybody. 6 weeks ago, they're out on the street buying dope. I'll buy it from you. But they don't trust anybody. I'll let you take my life, but I'm not sharing my life. I'm not ready yet. Okay. Where do you get a couple of years in? Then all of a sudden they end up in a detox ward somewhere. How'd that happen? I don't know. Think maybe you could have worked the steps? Didn't have time. I had two jobs. Trying to be responsible. I tried to be responsible when I first got clean. The biggest responsibility I could have was cleaning up the coffee cups, cleaning up the ashtrays, sweeping the floors in the meeting room. I wasn't real responsible when I got here. I didn't want to be responsible when I got here. All I wanted was to not use. I didn't want a job when I got here. I didn't want a family when I got here. I didn't want a new car when I got here. I just didn't want to use. I didn't want to get laid when I got here. I didn't want any money in my pocket when I got here. I just wanted not to use. How in the hell do I not use right now? That's what I wanted to know. And you people told me, don't pick up. I never thought of that. How stupid. Not pick up. Then I don't have to come to meetings? No. And what I got to go to meetings for? So you can learn how to not pick up. It don't make no sense. The first step told me that my life had become unmanageable. Not because I used drugs, it's because I was running it. Drugs weren't running my life. The insanity of my disease was running my life. That's why my problem wasn't drugs. I am not a drug addict. I'm an addict. You people taught me that. I am not an alcoholic addict. What the hell is all that? I was in a meeting one night. Somebody said, I'm an alcoholic addict. I said, well, put in $2. Alcoholic addict. If I had to sit in a meeting and say every drug I ever used, we wouldn't have time for y'all to share. An alcoholic addict is like being a methylquaalude freak and a methylquaalude freak. I said that in a meeting one night after somebody said they were an alcoholic addict. And they said, boy, that's really stupid. I said, you're catching on. See, we're not interested in what or how much you used. Only about what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. Our first tradition says that our common welfare should come first through unity. Now, how are we going to be unified if everybody's got to go around the room and introduce themselves with everything they ever stuck in their body? Can you imagine handing me anonymous programs I'd have to go to if I went for one for every drug? Amazing. They don't have a meeting for Glue Huffers Anonymous yet. I love it when I go to meetings and see the people that come to meetings and they share these things, it's not their fault. Because nobody ever took the goddamn time to share with them what the first step was all about. Our first step is not about drugs of any type. It's about a disease that everybody overlooks. Well, who told you that? My counselor did in treatment. He knows everything. And the ones I love are the addictionologists that talk about chemical dependency. Yes, I worked at DuPont for 14 years. And dual addicted, Wyatt Earp syndrome. That's a needle in both hands. We're still here. But can you feel the love, Jack? Have y'all met Jack? All Jack's talked about all weekend is the love here. Can you feel the love? The second step restored me to sanity. And in that sanity, it taught me that it was totally insane for me to keep introducing myself as many illnesses. It taught me to introduce myself as simply an addict, that I'm not unique, that I'm not different. If you want to go to other programs, if there are other programs I don't know, I don't go there. Go ahead. I got no problem with that. The only thing I have a problem is when people go to other programs and come back in my rooms where I'm trying to save my fucking ragged ass and tell me about promises. When somebody asks me to sponsor them, I ask them, what page are the promises on? If they tell me, I tell them I can't help them. Narcotics Anonymous doesn't have but one promise on page 100. That's freedom from active addiction. also tells me that I'm not here to save my face, because our basic text says that I can't save my ass and my face at the same time. I'm here to save my ass. I'm here to reach one person. There are probably 72 people who want to kill me. And maybe the 12 steps you're working aren't so spiritual. I do not go to any rooms and violate anybody's traditions. For treatment programs to come and send their people and bus them to Narcotics Anonymous without any idea of what the hell we're about is totally unjust to the addict who still suffers. I work in that field. But also, our facility teaches people about the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. It teaches them about the 12 traditions of other programs we send our people to. See, and they say, Marty, you're stuck on semantics. You're goddamn right I am. How the hell you think I made it in the street if it wasn't for semantics? If I didn't know how to talk to the cop man, you think I was going to be able to score? If I don't know how to talk in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, do you think I'm going to be able to recover? Or if I go to a different type fellowship and I introduce myself as an addict or a drug addict and people start throwing chairs and coffee mugs at me, you think I'm going to recover? Because see, I went to other places before I got here. And they told me, we can't help people like you. But if you want to stop drinking, we'll help you, goddammit. And that's fine. That's fine, because, damn it, that's what they're about. I got no business infiltrating their program. If I do go there, then I should identify myself appropriately and not be so goddamn unique and try to be different and stand out. Like a guy used to come to NA, he used to say, my name is Happy Days, D-A-Z-E. I'm a funky, chunky, drunk junkie. What the fuck is all that? Oh, he's different. Let's all hang with him. I want to be like him when I grow up. I want to be like y'all when I grow up. I want what you people have, not what an individual has. I don't want what my sponsor has. It's a sick mother. But I want what you people taught him. That's what I want. He ain't got a monopoly on this program. He's not immune to getting messed up again. He don't know every goddamn thing. He don't know all the answers because he's not up to date on all the questions. Real simple. But when he speaks, I listen. I don't jump, but I listen. I used to jump. Just thought he wanted me. I got blonde hair. He had black. Our program is about our 12 steps. Had a guy from another program one time who wanted to be on the hotline. I said, how many meetings do you go to in Narcotics Anonymous? He said, two. I said, how many meetings do you go to in other programs? He said, five. I said, so you're telling me that, I said, where's your home group? And he mentioned some other program somewhere. I said, so if you're on the hotline during the night of your home group and somebody calls for a message of Narcotics Anonymous, where are you going to take them? He said, to my home group. I said, then you'll have to kill me to get on the hotline. Because an addict calling Narcotics Anonymous wants what Narcotics Anonymous has to offer. Nothing else. He didn't call Fat Farters Anonymous. He called Narcotics Anonymous. I have a responsibility when somebody asks for an NA message to give them an NA message. Nothing else. Had a guy move to Denver a while back, and he was talking about, have you ever read the book, Puke on the Sermon or some crap? And I said, no. He said, "You don't know nothing about recovery." I said, "I'm sorry. I didn't read it." He said, "How about Dr. Doo-Doo and the Cuckoo Nest or something?" I said, "No, I never read it." He said, "Well, you people don't know nothing about sobriety." I said, "That's true." In these rooms, and only in these rooms for me, S-O-B-E-R simply means short of being entirely recovering. Because for me, and this is only for me, and I'm not speaking for Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, they wouldn't want me to. For me, that word simply means abstinence of one substance. Clean means totally abstinent to me. And once again, if you go somewhere else, fine. If that enhances your recovery, fine. Please don't bring it to my home group. That's all. I wouldn't go to your home group and talk about smoke enders. I called Bicker, somebody had a commercial on TV the other week, and said, "Guaranteed the number one success rate." You people missed it. Number one success rate. So I called him. I wanted to find out about this. And I said, "Well, what do you do for me? I'm on cocaine." I said, "Well, bring in, we'd give you this little slap on the wrist like a rubber band." I said, "Yeah?" I said, "Then what?" And he said, "We'll give you a sodium pentothal." I said, "I'm on my way." "And how much will that cost me?" "Only $13,000. Cal, the used car man, lost out on that one. When you want to quit using, go see Cal. I was sitting in my room before I come down here, and I seen that, I thought I'd die. I said, "He ought to promote all these programs." Addiction is not a funny thing. The guy who came up and picked up the basic texts and all the goodies, you're what it's all about. I'm not what it's about. I'm what you don't have to be like. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, and I don't say anything original. Everything I know, I got from Tom. I got 20 packs of rubbers in my pocket. I went to a meeting last night, and they were talking about sex and recovery. Safe sex. You want to know what safe sex is? That's it. No rejection. Nobody's going to tell your sponsor. I don't even have to go see a therapist. All I have to do is apply the principles of this program in my life. Narcotics Anonymous has given me the ability to hear a lot of people. And everything that I know today, I heard from somebody else. And you know, I don't know if you ever had this happen to you, but it sure happened to me. Right at the end of the meeting, you can see him coming from the other end of the room, all the way from the back. And the nice thing about Narcotics Anonymous is you can think anything you want to. And you can see him coming. You know what they're going to say. "Can you give me a ride back to the halfway house? I got to be in at 10:30 or I'll get kicked out." The nice thing about our program is it allows us to think anything we want to. You can look him dead in the eye and say, "Fuck you." And your mama for having you. "I can't give you a ride. Don't you know that the convention committee is going to meet tonight? They're going to be voting on a program chairman, and I want to get program chair so my sponsor can speak." And if I give you a ride, I'm going to miss it, and I won't be able to do all those things and control everything that I want to control. And the nice thing about this program, I can look him dead in the eye and say, give you a ride home? Look at your pants. You're not even dressed appropriately. You definitely have on no SOS, show-off shit. Probably have no clean time gathered up whatsoever. Got no good-looking women hanging around you. Probably don't even own a Porsche. And you want me to give you a ride home. When all these whiz-bangs in this clique are going out for coffee, and you want me to hang out with you. And the nice thing is I can look him dead in the eye and think every bit of that, as long as I say, sure, I'll give you a ride, pal. In 13 years, I've been on well over, God knows, 13,000 12-step calls. None of them got clean, but I did. I've had an opportunity to carry a message of hope. And the theme of this convention is new hope. And I have some new hope that next year when I walk into a meeting in this convention, you'll be talking about Narcotics Anonymous and not some other programs. That you'll be reading out of the basic text in our meetings instead of large literature. Because you see, I don't go anywhere and interfere with anybody's program. Please don't interfere with mine and the people that ask me for help to come to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Please don't interfere with their recovery. Not during an NA meeting. After the meeting, tell him how spatula works for you. I don't care. Yeah, you just take the spatula, stick it up your ass, and twirl it real hard. And that's how I got my recovery. There was a guy named Ole in Vietnam with me. And Ole and I got high a lot. For 2 solid years, I got high in Nam. I was scared to death when I got to Nam. Everybody had black hair. I was terrified. And me and Ole got high together and hung out together. My first night in Vietnam, they took me out to show me the ropes. I came to the next day sitting in a compound, stark naked, right beside this little pole with a little house on it with a monkey sitting there looking at me, smiling. And GIs standing all around me laughing. Now, I don't know if we got married. I don't know if we were reading the white book, but I'd be willing to bet. And not until I got to these rooms was I able to get that monkey off my back. Ole and I did a lot of things to people, places, and things in Nam that we weren't over there to do. And it took a long time to deal with a lot of those issues. When I came back and I got clean in Narcotics Anonymous, I tried to find Ole. And I couldn't find him. I knew he lived somewhere in Michigan. And I'd call information, and nobody knew him, and I couldn't ever find him. And a few years ago, my sponsor called me and said, and I was living in Baltimore, he says, I'm coming into town. I says, good.
Let me break out the chips.
I said, what are you coming in town for? Job interview or something? He said, no, we're going to the wall. I said, sit down. I said, what wall? I'm not Jewish.
I think about Catholics. It's okay to be Catholic if you want. Jehovah's Witnesses are the ones I like. Had a chance to either be in Denver for the Jehovah's Witness convention or be here. I was really torn. Free literature there. Had one come and knock on my door one time not too long ago, and I opened the door and he said, "Do you know the world's coming to an end?" I said, "Yeah, for you, if you don't get off my goddamn porch." A guy, a sponsor who's sitting in the room tonight from Miami, looks like meatloaf. And he's telling me some stuff one time, and it's okay to share it because he does. They came to his door one time, and he had a needle stuck in his neck because it was the only place he could find a vein, and he was stark naked and in the bathroom trying to find one and blood squirting everywhere. And had a needle in his neck, and the door, somebody knocked on the door, and he thought it was his buddy coming over to help him shoot some dope. And it was them. And they said, "Did you know the world's coming to an end?" He said, "You're kidding." And he just had his neck stuck around the door like this with a needle hanging out. I said, "Yes, can we talk to you about it?" And he opened the door wide open and said, "Sure, come on in." As big as those religions are, why are they always broke? There's always somebody on TV. "God needs your money." Well, get a job, asshole. I mean, if I can find a job, sure God can, right? And give me a break. So I looked for Ole and couldn't find him. And Bob came into town and was sleeping on my couch, and my kid come down from upstairs that night, and Bob's laying on the couch, and he says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Bob. Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jimmy." He says, "Well, you're a nice-looking man, Jimmy." He says, "Thank you. You going to detox this morning?" Bob shook his head. He said, "What do you mean, detox?" He says, "Everybody sleeps on my daddy's couch, goes to detox the next day." Bob couldn't go, couldn't find an indigent bed. Only those with cash could go that week. And Bob and I went to the wall. And I was scared to death to go to the wall because I didn't know how I'd react. And I went there and I'm walking up and down and I'm looking at all these names, and a guy comes up to me and he says, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're looking for somebody?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What's his name?" And I told him Ole's name. And he got out this big green book with all these names in it. Went flipping through the pages. And he said, "Come here for a second." And he took me over to the wall. And he pointed on the wall and he said, "Is this your friend?" And I said, "Yeah." And he took a piece of paper and a pencil and inscribed his name on it for me and handed it to me and walked away. And I got down on my knees and I put my fingers on his name and I said, "Ole, I've been looking for you for a long time." I said, "I got some friends I'd like for you to meet. And that's why I've been trying to find you." I said, "These are the greatest people in the fucking world. These people don't give a high-flying shit who we are, what we are, why. All they care about is how they can help us. They don't give a goddamn where we live, whether we're married or single, whether we're black or white, Hispanic or Portuguese. They don't give a goddamn. All they care about is helping us. I've been looking for you for years. Because I wanted to give you an opportunity to get rid of all that shit I know you're carrying around. And I said, but I guess you already knew that before I did, didn't you? And you're okay today. And not like me, you don't ever have to worry about using ever again. You don't have to worry about where to recover. You don't have to worry about where you're going to fit in, where you're going to be alone, where you're going to become a part of. Because you're at the meeting where it's okay. And I prayed for him. And I got up and I was walking out, and there was some guys standing over by this tent that's still missing in action. And they had a little jar out there where you could donate money and a little book you could sign your name in and what unit you were with. And I went over there and I signed my name in the book, and I put a dollar in the bucket. And the guy came all the way from around the table and said words I had never heard in my goddamn life. He said, "Welcome home." And nobody had ever told me, "Welcome fucking home." I was clean for 8 or 10 years and still didn't know where the hell I was. I was still fighting a goddamn war inside my gut. And the war wasn't numb, the war was addiction. The war was the goddamn disease of insanity that everybody always overlooks and likes to label with fucking chemicals. And the guy didn't love on me because I was an addict. He loved on me because I was a human being. And my addiction didn't even matter. You people can judge me if you want. You can also kiss my fucking ass. Because the only person I'm interested in tonight is that one addict who still suffers. I'm not interested in people pleasing any goddamn one. I'm interested in staying clean today. I'm interested in my one disease where I come to one program to deal with it. Where I belong. This is my home. I hope that you feel comfortable enough that you can make it your home. If nobody's told you that they love you today, take a look at your program. Hey, my fault. If nobody's told you that they love you today, maybe they don't know how. But see, I can love you, and I do, and it doesn't matter what disease you think you got or how many of them. Because I know you only got one. I always wanted what everybody else wants. I wanted to love, and I wanted to be loved. I wanted to have a relationship with another human being. I'd been married several times. None of them worked because I didn't work. I met my present wife at a regional meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. I was the chairman of the Chesapeake Potomac region, and Ruth was sitting down the other end of the table, and I wanted to make her feel welcome, so I winked at her. And after the meeting, she asked me to dance. And we danced all night long. And then we went out and sat outside to get some fresh air. We talked. And I tried to get her to go underneath the bridge where it could be a little more intimate. And she said, "I don't have enough clean time." I said, "I'll give you a couple of years." When I was in Nam, I'd married a lady during a return trip. And then when I came back home, she started getting morning sickness, and then she was pregnant, and we went through the 9 months of pregnancy. And then we had a little baby girl, and I raised that girl for a year. And then she told me it wasn't mine. And that began the real height of my hitting my bottom. And that was the end of that relationship. And when I met Ruth, I'd been through another marriage in my addiction. And we had a little boy. She got pregnant during one of the times I was moving in and out, which I used to do weekly. I remember the police came one night because we lived in the third story and there was furniture all out in the parking lot that I had thrown. And I was messed up. And she called the cops because of my behavior. And the cops came in and said, we got a problem here? I said, no, we're just moving. And anyway, she got pregnant, and I left and didn't return until the night before she had the baby. And then the day that she had the baby, I left again, not to return until some 5 or 6 years later for 10 minutes to say, hi, I'm your dad. Aren't you proud? Last week, I put my 13-year-old son on an airplane back to see his mom. He came and visited me for the first time for 3 weeks. And that ain't supposed to happen for people like me. The kid called me dad. The kid hugged me. Had an opportunity to make some long overdue amends. Had an opportunity to buy him an ice cream so he'd love me. I said fuck in front of him so he'd think he was important. He told me a dirty joke. I said, that's great, that's one. You don't get to tell me another one. When it was time to go, he said he didn't want to go home. I said, why? He said, I don't like the rules. I said, what's so wrong about the rules? He said, there's only one. I said, what is it? I said, God, this is terrible. This kid's going to use. He said, Mom won't let me ride around with my 15-year-old friend in his car. I said, you're kidding me, that bitch. I said, well, I'll tell you what, things will be different here. Your friend don't live here, so you won't have to worry about riding around with him while you're here. And not only that, if you get any friends older than you and they drive, you ain't gonna ride with them either. Accept it, pal. And if you don't like it, that's just the way it goes. You got a choice. You can accept it or get pissed off. Sooner or later, you'll get into acceptance, however you choose to deal with it. But I want you to know I love you. And you can't change that. When I put him on the plane, he gave me a hug that wouldn't quit. He turned around, going down the aisle, going down the corridor to get on the plane. He turned around a good 5 or 6 times to make sure I was still watching him. When Ruth and I got married, she already had a built-in family. She had a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old, and raising them herself and doing a hell of a job. My wife has been clean for almost 6 years and has never been to another meeting other than Narcotics Anonymous, ever. And I heard that that couldn't happen. And those two kids call me dad, and I haven't even adopted them. And they speak to us, and they speak to me. When the little one was 7, we were driving down the road, and I punished him for something he did, and he said, Dad, I got to talk to you. I said, okay. He said, I'm finding it real hard to love you right now. That's when we quit taking him to meetings with us. Super kids. The 14-year-old. Super kid. Super. He talks about his feelings. He tells me when he likes something. He tells me when he doesn't like something. The 11-year-old doesn't like anything, and he tells me about it. And a little over 2 years ago, Ruth and I had one together.
And a couple of weeks ago, we were all camping up in the mountains of Colorado. And about 8 o'clock in the morning, we're all standing around the fire, except for the baby. He's about from here to that door over there in the tent, sleeping. And the 14-year-old throws a firecracker in the campfire. Boom! And all of a sudden, out of the tent, you heard this loud scream. God damn it! Say what you want, it communicated how he felt. His mother hadn't quit cussing yet, I don't know. I have the privilege to sponsor several people in this fellowship. The greatest people I know. I don't tell them what to do, and they don't ask me to tell them what to do. They know that when they need me, I'm there. They know that when they don't need me, I don't interfere. I do not have a right to mess with God's handiwork. Real simple. I don't have a right to interfere with God's business. Their growth is between them and their higher power. I know who God is today. If you're new, this might help you. For so long, I was agnostic and trying like hell to be an atheist. And when I came in these rooms, I wanted to know who God was. And my sponsor told me to listen after the meeting and you would tell me. And I'd listen and you didn't tell me. And I'd say, I didn't hear it. He said, listen after the meeting. And I listened. Finally, I caught on. One night after the meeting, you people were praying and you said, Howard be his name. Howard's been my higher power for 13 years. Only because it worked for me. I don't expect it to work for you. That's why it says, as we understood him. I don't believe in him like you do. It don't work for me. I don't expect you to believe it like I do. I would like to thank you people for allowing me to stay clean today. I would like to thank you for sharing your time with me. I would like to thank the committee for asking me to be here. I've been on several convention committees, and let me tell you what, it's a much thankless job. Everybody wants a bitch at the program committee, at the activities committee, at the PI committee, at the guru committee, at the God committee, because things aren't going the way that everybody wants them to. But to put something like this together takes a lot of love, and I know Jack can feel it. Nothing works like this program works. There is no other place I can go and be totally me. I thank you for allowing me to keep coming back all this time. Because, folks, I got no other place to go. I thank you for loving me when nobody else would. I thank you for tolerating me. I do not have a monopoly on staying clean. I do not have all the answers. I'm not up to date on all the questions. I don't have the humility that's needed, and I hope I never have the humility that's needed to not have to come back here. You're real fortunate to live in California where the sun shines. I live in Denver and I don't want to be there. Oh. I am real grateful for you people pointing out the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous to me. Because without these 12 traditions, I have no place to go to recover. So I have a major responsibility to try to practice those 12 traditions in my life. And I don't always get it perfect. And I probably never will. But I'm sure there are some of you around who are like me who will help me out. Somebody said to me one time before I was getting ready to speak, "You're one of them goddamn purists, aren't you?" I said, "What's that, a religious movement?" "I'm an addict, thank you." I moved to Denver and a guy says, "What the hell do you know? You're not from Denver." I said, "Look at my driver's license. This is not a geographical goddamn program or a geographical disease. I'm home when I'm in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, no matter where it is." I love you. I love this program more than I love my car telephone that works. More than I love my little three-story house on the cul-de-sac. I've got everything now. And if you're new, you can't sleep in my house. It's too clean. Thank God for this program. The regional service rep for Colorado Region's taking care of my kids this weekend. He'd much rather do that than listen to me. A guy gave me a poem one time, said, "Did you waste a day or lose it, and was it well or poorly spent, and did you leave a ray of sunshine or a scar of discontent? And as you close your eyes in slumber, do you think your higher power would say you deserve another tomorrow by the 12 steps and traditions that you shared today?" That's my inventory. Although you may have known me for the last hour, I've changed since then. I'm much more humble now. No, it's my second time. No, I already shit myself, thank you. My 60 minutes are up. If nobody told you that they love you today, hang around a little while longer. Maybe some selfish, self-centered puke will tell you. But I love you. I love my wife today. I love our relationship. I don't work her program. She doesn't have one. She doesn't work mine. I don't have one either. I don't tell her what to do, when to call her sponsor. She doesn't tell me what to do. I get in the last two words of every spat. "Yes, ma'am." Not only is that safe sex, it's some sex. When we go to dances in Narcotics Anonymous, we don't dance with anybody but us. We've danced with all y'all. We've already had sex in our minds with everybody here. We've already played the lust routines. We're not into sharing experience, strength, and link today. We're into sharing our experience, strength, and hope, and love, and understanding. We stay with each other. We dance with each other. We share with each other. We do all the things that you people taught us how to do. We write hot checks. Shit happens. No, it doesn't. Shit's made. Harold, thank you for making sure everything was taken care of for us. You made our stay real welcoming. You people have made us feel very welcome,
And I hope that when anybody from anywhere in the world in Narcotics Anonymous comes here to visit and to a meeting, they're welcomed as friendly and with as much love as you people did. Now, thank you for letting me be here.